Maranatha Church would express our condolences to Keith and Melissa on the death of their daughter, Tarn, who passed away during the week. A girl so young, in her late 20s. But we could take it as a warning, and especially in light of the message I'm going to give this morning. And with thanks to an input from Carter Conlon, Dr. David Jeremiah, Derek Prince, Barry White, Herod, and other people who spoke in the church, I take notes and remember things that they said. So, and I use it again. You know, why reinvent the wheel when the wheel is already invented? Title of my talk this morning, The Wolf is at the Door. And if you could open your Bibles at Isaiah 53. Verses 1-6. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root on dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment for God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It is important to understand that a religious system crucified Christ. Although the Roman authorities were the instrument in his death, the religious order of the day, created by God's own people, put the Son of God on the cross. They were leaders in the generation who adorned themselves with righteous robes and loved to be called teachers in the marketplace. We see this in Matthew 23, verse 7. They ended up creating a system of salvation that was much wider and more inclusive than the one God had given. All kinds of people were coming into the temple, defiled, and going out the same way. They were living in ways that the Bible clearly indicated that would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. Today is Palm Sunday. There were, as Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, thousands of people came to welcome, waving banner and shouting Hosanna. The word Hosanna means Lord, save us. And yet they crucified him. In contrast, Jesus came in a form that lacked grandeur in the eyes of man. He was not just dressed in righteous robes, not trying to garner their titles, not doing things their way. The Bible says, there was no beauty that would desire him, Isaiah 53, 2. They despised and rejected him because he challenged their religious system of redemption. Remember, it is the inclination of our tendency of humankind that conclude that we can be as God, becoming judges of what good and what is evil. the original sin in the Garden of Eden. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring that God forgives things when he does not. We can start telling people that they're going to heaven when they are not. This is the grave danger of religion. Can you imagine sitting inside a place as a supposed believer in Christ, only end up at the throne of God one day and to find out you've been outside all along? What a tragedy that is going to be for many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on people as sheep without a shepherd, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We are, in a great measure, reliving the scriptures again in our day. In many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. They're even tearing pages out of the Bible that they don't agree with. Paul was a true shepherd who did not hold back from declaring the truth. This is what he said in the book of Acts. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:26-27. And it's the cry of my own heart, and that if anyone listening to this today ends up in hell, let it never be because we at Maranatha failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God, or did not warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. Paul continued, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flocks. Also from amongst yourselves, men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Acts 20:29-31. He warns that the wolves are going to come. What you are seeing in packs in our generation, their wolves are going to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They are going to promise the people liberty, though they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption. 2 Peter 2:19. Wolves teach you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. Such a wolf is now at the door of the Christian church, not only in Ireland, but worldwide. Yet Paul clearly warned in the book of 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immoral or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There are people who engage in sexual intercourse outside the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and still have heaven as your eternal home. This is hard for this generation to hear, especially when so many preachers are saying, well, God understands your needs and God is a God of love. He won't send anyone to hell. That is not true. Yes, he is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters. These are people who have other loves, something in their life that is their whole obsession. Christ or church is just a little part of their life. And they are pursuing something else, nor adulterers. Today we take such a word as adultery and call it, what do we call it? An extramarital affair, as if it were a black tie event. Let's have a black tie event next Friday at 5 o'clock. Yes, the Bible calls it adultery. Settle it. Sex aside, the bonds of the person you're married to will keep you outside the kingdom of God. Now, homosexuals are sodomites. In other words, this applies to both men and women. I understand the dilemma that some might face in same-sex attraction. Nevertheless, you cannot give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says that it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Now, thieves. This refers all people who steal, even just a little. Perhaps they have a contract and steal a little bit more than they should, or maybe they cheat on their taxes. Now, covetous. These are people always wanting more of the things of this world, never satisfied with what they have. Now, drunkards. These are week after week, these are people who skip church on Sunday after being out the night before drinking and dancing, waking up with a hangover. They can't be bothered getting up to church on Sunday morning. Now, reviver. Especially in our country today, to criticise abusively has become the speech of the day. It is fashion just to curse everybody around you. Nor extortioners. In other words, those who take advantage of others will not inherit the kingdom of God. However, Paul, he finishes with good news. And such were some of you. But you were washed and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. He was saying, in contrast, you were set apart for the kingdom of God. You have honestly repented and walked away from what God's word says is wrong. You have walked away from this old way of thinking and behaving, and have instead set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, we must be aware that we're living in an hour when the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding that we bow down to these new definitions and laws of good and evil. The days of being able to declare truths like the one I've talked about without a penalty are very close to being over, if they are not already over. Jesus once said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. See this in John 10, verses 11 to 13. There are a lot of hirelings in the pulpits of Ireland today. They do not necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truths when the wolf is at the door. The wolf says, this is what you will preach. These are the truth that you will espouse. And the hireling bows down when the music plays to save himself, but it's always been about them and never really about the sheep. And so the hireling ends up leading the people into the broad way of destruction rather than the narrow way of eternal life. In contrast, the true shepherd of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than their own safety or reputation. Of course, it will not be an easy road. I believe we are soon about to join our brothers and sisters in China, Iran, North Korea, Sudan, and other places who are being persecuted and even been put to death for what they believe. We have lived a very comfortable, lazy Christianity in Ireland and across the Western world. But those days are going to come to an end. The wolf is now at the door. And so I challenge you with all my heart to turn from your sin, or from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up, be the person that God has called you to be. You already know what God has his finger on. Ask him to help you in turning away from watching pornography, from drinking, from flirtation in the office. Ask him to deliver you from cowardice and instead put a love for people in your heart, a love that casts out all fear. Let this society despise Christ, consider him ordinary, rebel against his word. But by the grace of God, we will not bow down before the wolf in this generation. By his grace, we will stand unashamedly for the truth of God. We will begin to pray like a church. We will have the courage of this generation to stand for those who do not have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for college students, for every mother, father, and child in this country who needs to know that there is a Saviour who died for them. Amen. Now my wife is going to say to me, why didn't you put in more into that? Why didn't you go on? But that's it. That's what God gave me to say for you today. So.